Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I give you honor and praise. Say, hallowed be thy name. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, the excellent majesty, and the dominion under the whole heaven belongs unto you. We give you glory and honor. All power, that's right, belongs to you. And wisdom is yours. And thanksgiving, glory to God. Now, as we stand in the message of the Lord this morning, we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And Lord, we know that your word is a hammer and can break down things. Glory to God. I want to send forth that hammer, Lord, this morning, to break down certain things in Jesus' name and to give a safe passage for your children. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So, I want to share, some powerful scriptures that can help us today. Holy Spirit showing me that the people are just going through. We needed this year to be, a year of remembrance, a year of the redeemed, and a year of good things. But Satan is standing, at our right hand and the left and the front and the back to resist the word of the Lord. So we got to keep, moving forward. We got to keep on believing. And let's hear the word of the Lord today. We're running through troops, leaping over walls, we're going through gates, we're moving mountains, and all the kinds of barriers. I may bring in front of us today. David had some powerful testimonies. I love the stories of David. We're always telling them because his life exemplifies, challenges and different things that he had to face. For the most part, even after God, anointed him for the kingdom at the hand of the prophet Samuel, yet, he was running for his life the whole time, always. Instead of ascending to the throne graciously, his life was in jeopardy all the time, despite the anointing of God that was upon him, despite the grace of God, that had given him, the prophet poured the oil on him, and anointed him to be king, but it was like to put a target, painted a target behind his name and so forth on his back. From that point on, it was, problem after problem, trouble after trouble. Saul was determined to kill him and always constantly running for his life. Now, you would think that when the Lord gives promise, like that of promotion, when the Lord gives promise of great things, you would think that you would just get into it like that. Well, sometimes, but sometimes not. Because the devil also, is standing there always to resist the word of the Lord. We saw what happened in the book of Daniel. And Daniel was praying. The Lord actually released the answer. For 3 weeks in Daniel chapter 10, he was praying. But the thing wasn't coming through. Unknown to him, the prayer was already answered. But devil had something to say about it. Daniel chapter 10, we read in verse 12. And the man said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words from the first day, just like the scripture says, while they are yet speaking, even when the word is still in their mouth. That's right. I will answer, Now, say they can call unto me, I'll say, here I am. The Lord answered his prayer. But the devil's array of demonic powers and wickedness and princes of the air, they would have something to do with it. Say, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I mean, so all that fasting and prayer that he was doing, well, he was praying, probably didn't know that something was blocking his prayer, you know, and the devil for 21 days, the prince of the king of Persia withstood this man, this angel that was coming, until the Lord released Michael, chief of the princes, one of the chief of the princes, came to help him. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I've come to make thee understand. So we see from this story here that, you know, we can't take things for granted. Even when the Lord releases a blessing, we can't take it for granted. The devil might be fighting, you know, tooth and nail to make sure that we don't get that answer. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 1, and the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And who else do we see in that picture? Now, there are three personalities that we are going to see in this picture. There was Joshua, the high priest. The Lord wanted to do something for him. And he was standing before the angel of the Lord. Well, but there was Satan also standing at his right hand to resist him. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you think I'm standing in the presence of the Lord will pour this glory upon me, the Lord will give me these great promises, well, sure. But Satan is also there to resist, to make sure you don't get it and it doesn't come to pass. You know, and, but sometimes the Lord will look at it and then sometimes the Lord will also take action. But you have the power to take action now in the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10 and 19. Now, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Oh, Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire, this Joshua? The Lord said, look, God said he's going to change something. He's going to change this man's story. Now, at that time, he was clothed with filthy garments, this Joshua was, and he stood before the angel of the Lord. Didn't matter to the Lord, you know, that he was clothed with filthy garments, because the Lord is going to fix that, you know. And he answered and spake unto them as to me, take away that filthy garments from him. And the Lord said to him, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from you today. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Glory to God. And he said, let them put a fair mitre, it's like a little crown, upon his head. And they said upon his head, and clothe him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. But the Lord had to intervene because this man, it seemed like he was helpless. He was standing before the Lord. God was fixing to do something in his life. I mean, he was high priest at the time, but now this is not that Joshua that, you know, took Jericho and all of that. This is a different one, you know, but he couldn't do it because Satan was there to resist him. Now, every word of the Lord that the Lord has given us and the ones that we have been reminding ourselves of this year, the devil is there to resist him. But, you know, the posture that we must take is what I want to talk about today. Devil or no devil, Satan or no Satan, we must run through troops, leap over walls, go through gates, climb over mountains, break down barriers. I mean, whatever stands before us, we must win. Praise the Lord. And don't back down from the devil one bit. Now, David gave some testimonies of all the things that happened to him and the posture that he took. In Psalm 18 and verse 29, you know, he said a powerful declaration, which is part of the title of this, you know, this lesson today. But this was the posture, you know, that David took, and he would not back down for anything, from anything, you know. For by thee, O Lord, I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Well, can you run through troops? Can you leap over walls? I mean, you know, troops, listen to this again in Psalm 118 and verse 12, verses 10 to 12. It doesn't matter all the things that confront him, how many people and how many companies come against him. This man, David, always confident in this one thing. Say, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. He didn't care about anything. You know, he had this, you know, I mean, battle mindset. Look, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to win. They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Now, there are problems that compass you about. You know, you may be hearing testimonies of others, but yeah, you're having challenges of your own. Well, you know, what is your posture going to be? Well, it's got to be like this. They may compass me about like bees, but I'm going to scorch them with the fire of the Lord. You know, and in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. Now, my enemy, he said, has thrust sword at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. Glory to God. You know, the Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. I mean, this was his posture. It didn't matter how many things he had to go through. In Psalm 27, he wrote similar things also. The Lord, he said, is the strength of my life. So it's his testimony. He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, there are a lot of things that are going to come. Some of you are already facing things to try to destroy, to kill, to steal. But the Lord will help you and you will be a winner. Praise God. Now, we had many stories in the Bible of some battle-tested believers. This David was one of them. He went into a few fights in his life. And he could all come out on top. It didn't matter whether I was a lion. Didn't matter whether I was a bear. Didn't matter whether I was Goliath. Didn't matter whether I was armies and different things. This man, you know, had a way about him. Was, you know, he was a young man too, but he had a way around it. You know, that he trusted the Lord for victory. And he said, though an host should encamp against me, it looks like on every side, you know, trouble. We look for grace, but trouble came sometimes. I mean, you look for joy, but then there's, you know, adversity and so on. But, you know, we must maintain a posture. Though war should rise up against me, different things that devil may hurl at you, in this will I be confident. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be confident because the Lord will be my stay. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 144 and verse 1, it talks about how God even strengthens his hands. The Lord was his trainer. Glory to God. You know, he was a trainer. I mean, you have people, you know, that train in martial arts and different things, you know. But this man, he said, God is my trainer because he's the one that teaching my hands how to fight, my fingers and different things, my hands to war, my fingers to fight. The Lord, you know, by him, I run through troops. By him, I leap over walls. Listen to this, Psalm 144 and verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. Teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, in another place, he said, look, even a bow still broken by my arms. I mean, this man, he had so much confidence going for him in the Lord. Not that he didn't have his share of troubles. In fact, he had more than his share of troubles. Even within his family, his son rose up against him and different things, you know. But the one that was the hardest to take was this man was minding his own business. He wasn't aspiring to be king or anything, or just a shepherd boy. And, you know, he was pleased to be a shepherd boy. You know, he was enjoying, you know, his time, you know, out in the, you know, wilderness, in the woods, by the streams of water and different things, just enjoying himself there with the sheep and so on, and ready to fight, always for the sheep. But that, you know, all of that was his training, though. He didn't know it, that God was training him to be king. But he wasn't wanting to be king. He wasn't looking to be king. He was just doing his thing. God handpicked him. And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, the two things go together. The blessing of the Lord that was going to be upon him to promote him to king came with a package of trials and testings. It seemed as if target was painted on his back. I mean, it was like, look, I wasn't asking to be king and anything, but now, because the Lord said you'll be king, the current king wants to kill him. You know, and he was going through all manner of troubles to run from one place to another. Even at one time, and he's running away, he was pretending to be mad, you know, and so, I mean, it was just all kinds of things. But, you know, despite it all, you know, he was always encouraging himself. You know, he said, look, I don't care what I'm going through right now, you know, but joy I know is coming in the morning. He was always encouraging himself. No matter what, he would not allow any distress at the moment or anything that he was going through to keep him down. No lion, no bear, not even Goliath, you know, could keep him down. He was ready to go over. Now, I want to talk about barriers and gates for a bit. You know, I've talked about these things before, but I was meditating on some things yesterday and praying for some people in my mind. And it was bringing in my heart to encourage us with these things. You know, barriers, gates, you know, bars and different things. These things are designed to impede passage. You know, that's what a barrier is. You know, they're doing a road construction. They might put up some barriers so that you don't go through that way. They don't want you to go through. So they block the way. If they're kind enough, they might give you a sign around some other way for a detour. But as far as they are concerned, you are not going through here. No passage. They block the way. They don't want people to go through, you know, and, yeah, that's what a barrier does. Gates, often sometimes too. Gates can be there to either shut people in or prevent people from going in, you know, or keep people out. I mean, there's just so many ways that you can view gates. And of course, bars, you know what they are. People talk about people behind bars. You know, that's when they're incarcerated. They are put in prison. Bars lock them up. They want to make sure they can't break those bars with their hands or any other, you know, instruments they might find in the vicinity that they can't escape. Keep them in. You know, can't get their freedom. When the Lord pronounces liberty for us, the devil closes in with the gates. Jesus said one thing. I want to talk to you about it for a minute. You know, when he was talking to Peter and the rest of his disciples, you know, asking about who the Son of Man was and all of these things. And they said this, they said that. Well, said what? You know, That's what people say. But what about, what do you say? Now, when Peter made, you know, that, the powerful, you know, powerful declaration, the Lord said to him, well, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but this rock of this revelation that you knew, that my Father gave you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Let me talk about gates of hell. You know, when we encounter the Lord, he opens our eyes, brings us out of darkness, right? Puts us on that path of righteousness that are supposed to lead straight to the throne, the throne encounter. You are on that path of righteousness, but the gates of hell are closing in. You know, the gates of hell will try to close in to make sure. Jesus called it gates of hell. Use the word hell because anything that's trying to prevent you from encountering heaven on earth, you know, comes from hell. So those gates are closing in when you are on the path of life, when you're on the path of righteousness, gates of hell will try to close in. But they, you know, some people in the scriptures understood that. And, you know, the psalmist also understood it. Well, he said, look, I know what I'm striving for, you know. I know it. I'm striving for your presence because in your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. But you will show me the path of life. The gates of hell will not be able to choke this path, close up this path that I'm in. You know, the devil doesn't want you to get through. So once he finds that you are on the path, he's going to come in and trying to close up the way so that you don't get through. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you may even have gates on roads that won't let you through. And if you try to get into a community, even though it looks like road that's open to the public, all of a sudden you meet this gate and you can't go through. You know, but they don't want you to pass through. So these gates and barriers, you know, that's what they do to hold you back from making progress, hold you back from getting to where, you know, God wants to take you and so on. But what must your posture be? That's the thing. It's not that, you know, we don't know these things, but I want to remind you, because the Bible says, as much as we see the day approaching, we should remind one another of these things, you know, lest at any time devil should get advantage of us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. I said the other day that unfortunately many are ignorant of his devices, even though Paul gave his own testimony that he's not ignorant. Well, a lot of people are ignorant. You know, we just let the devil, we don't, you know, sometimes we forget who we are fighting against. The devil has been doing these things for centuries. You know, it's a master of deception. But you got to know who's on your side. You know, we got the Lord on our side. And the Lord, you know, we got a captain of the Lord's host even on our side. And your commander in chief tells you to go through and to go forward. The devil say, no, I'm not going to let you. Standing at your right hand to resist you. We saw him standing at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. You're not going to get that blessing that the Lord wants to put on you. Well, but he will lose. He's always a loser. Every single time he will lose. Praise the Lord. You know, there were some people that were determined in their hearts that no matter the obstacles on the way, they were going to get through. You know, the story, the popular story of the children of Israel trying to get to the promised land in Numbers 13 and 14. There were a lot of obstacles on the way. There were giants. There were different scenarios. Well, two of the 12 spies chose to see victory and not see the challenges. The rest, the 10 of them, chose to see the magnitude of the problems that they would face. We can't do it, they said, because there are giants on the way and we ourselves look like grasshoppers. These people will consume us. In fact, the land is consuming the people, you know, and so on. I mean, they just brought an evil report. Two of them said, well, come on now. These people are nothing, you know. Their strength is departed from them because the Lord are giving us the go ahead. Let's go up at once. We can do it. Don't think about giants. Think of them as bread. We'll have them for lunch. You know, that was their posture. And God loved it. You know, the Lord was just looking at the drama playing out. He loved it for those two. And he said the other 10 and the rest of all the people that follow those 10, they would not make it in. Yeah. So it is important for us to take the correct posture. Otherwise, you might be sealing yourself into some problems. Seal, S-E-A-L. You know, now you don't want to do that. These people sealed their own doom back then because of the negative posture that was in their heart and the words they pronounced out of their mouth. But the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who said they could do it, in fact, Joshua and Caleb, they were the ones with the younger generation that went in. And Caleb, even when Joshua was dividing out the land, this man, Caleb, came in and said, give me this mountain. You're ready to take anything. He said, look, you know, I'm 85 years old now, but I'm still as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. I can still go in and out for war. And this man, he believed God for 45 years. We always talked about Abraham. It took him 25 years or so to get a promise. It took Caleb 45 years from the time that he came back with a good report. Moses told him that he would obtain the promise. But it took him 45 years after that, you know, to get it. And he said, well, I am ready now. Give me this mountain. You know, because he said, because my heart wholly followed the Lord. Now, we're not the only ones that go through stuff. People get knocked down. People get cheap-shotted by the devil and all different times. You know, but their posture was, I'm not staying down for the count. Some of them were like that. Micah said it. In Micah 7 and 8, you read the scriptures before. He said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. When you cheap-shot me, I'm going to get up. I will not stay down for the count. And even when it looks like I am in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I mean, these people are always pronouncing positive. You know, their war song and war dance was, look, we are more than conquerors. We can do these things. Paul himself said that, you know, in Romans chapter 8, he said, look, we are more than conquerors. We can do these things. Romans 8 verses 35 to 39. Many things that come against us, he said, you know, doesn't matter things that are present, that you are going through at the moment, things that were past, you know, and things that are even yet to come. Now, some people live in their past. You know, your yesterday is already past. You can still believe. Some people are still living in yesterday. You know, you cannot. Today is a new day. Yesterday is already gone. You know, and the devil may have beat you up a little bit yesterday. You know, but, you know, you got to get up today and say round two. Glory to God. We, you know, I'm back. Hallelujah. You know, you knocked me down, but that was then. This is now. I'm on my feet now. Don't, you know, live in the past or past defeat. You know, let's live in the promise of victory. Things that are present, things that are, well, past that the devil try to bring, you know, throw up in your face, or even things that are yet to come. Sometimes the fear of the unknown, the future, and so forth, I mean, make people wonder. But Paul said, look, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conqueror, but even more. And him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, Paul was persuaded. Are you persuaded? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, whether I'm up or I'm down, or any other creature, I'll be able to separate me from the love of God. I'm anchored in Christ. Some of these people had unstoppable faith. They were not, there wasn't anything you could throw at them that was going to keep them down. Some of their stories are recorded in Hebrews, chapter 11. Let's read a summary of, some of them from verses 33 and 34 will give you a summary of all this stuff that some of them went through. It said, look, some of them who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions, they quenched the violence of fire. Talking about Daniel, talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so on. Escaped the edge of the sword. Some of them did too. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens, and so on. Some women even received their dead back to life. The Shunammite woman, it is well with my soul. And others, are tortured and all of that. Whether the Lord set them free or they were killed, it did not matter. They were sold out. And they didn't give the devil any chance. Somebody like Isaiah, he had his own challenges too, but he always encouraged himself. He said, I know the Lord God will help me. Glory to God. Isaiah 50:7. Therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint. And I know I shall not be ashamed. I mean, these were their testimonies. Now, when your commander in chief has told you to go forward, what are you going to do? In the book of Exodus chapter 14, we see the children of Israel battle against the wall. And God always has one more move when the devil thinks he got you right where he wants you. That's what Pharaoh thought. Look at them now. They have nowhere to go. I'm going to finish them off. God of Moses is a poor general. He doesn't even know what to do. Brought them out, but now I'm going to kill them here. All of them. I don't even have to deal with them in Egypt. I'm going to kill them here in the desert. that's what he thought. But God had other plans. In Exodus chapter 14, the Lord told the people, it looked as if there was nowhere to go. We're talking about barriers. You talk about the Red Sea. A barrier is even a small thing. Talk about the Red Sea. How in the world are you going to cross the Red Sea? But God, when he tells you to go forward, then he already has an ace up his sleeves. He knows what he's going to do. You don't. He may or may not tell you, but he got something. The people were afraid, but Moses declared unto them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, which you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you will hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, well, that's all good, but why are you standing here crying unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. As long as you are looking at that Red Sea, every one of us have those Red Sea moments. You should check out our message on the Red Sea moments. But it will remain a Red Sea, you know, and you will be thinking, I can't get through here. I'm going to drown in this thing. Well, you're not going to drown, because Isaiah 43:2 says you will not drown. The fire will not, you know, burn you. You go through it, you come out on the other side. And they said, we can't go through. Lord said, no, you must go through. Go forward. you got to go forward. You know, until you go forward, it's just the Red Sea. But once you determine in your mind that you are going forward, the Lord has one more move up his sleeve that he's going to use to save the day. Glory to God. When the Lord parted the Red Sea, a singular, most spectacular miracle you ever saw in that Old Testament, or even sometimes in the physical, in the entire Bible, I haven't seen anything quite like it. And God allowed those people to pass through, holding the chariots of Pharaoh and Egypt at bay with the fire that stood in front of them. And after the children of Israel were clean passed over, the Lord removed the fire and sucked them in. You know, so he let them charge down through there, you know, thinking that they're going for the spoil. When they were in the middle of the sea, where it was, you know, they couldn't go forward quickly enough. They couldn't get back quickly enough. The Lord brought the water crashing down on them and killed them all. Drown them all. You know, somebody once said, you know, there are some people who don't, you know, like to believe in the God of miracles. Or somebody once said, well, yeah, you know, that Red Sea wasn't really, I mean, you know, they just crossed. You know, it wasn't really, the waters weren't really that high. You know, David, I mean, Moses took them through a place where they could wade through the water. So, yeah, really? My answer was, well, it's even a greater miracle than if ankle deep water could drown all the chariots. Ha! Glory to God. You know, so God used the so-called ankle deep water to drown all the chariots. You know, say, well, chew on that. Praise God. No, the waters were piled up high. You know, but you got to move forward in order for God to pull that miracle out. Hallelujah. You know, now, when the priests that were carrying, you know, the ark, Joshua in his days commanded that, you know, the priests, they must go forward. And when their feet, you know, would touch on the banks of the river Jordan, you know, these were the priests that bore the ark of the Lord. You know, then something will happen. What will happen? Well, at that time, the Lord will cause the waters to be cut off. And they would be able to pass through on dry land. But if they didn't go forward, then they wouldn't be able to do it. There's always a command to go forward from the Lord. He doesn't want us to stand in one place crying unto him. You got to go forward. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to read a couple of verses from Joshua chapter 3. You know, how the Lord gave command for these people move forward. Jordan River, notwithstanding. You know, God is going to give you the grace to go through. Praise the Lord. You know, so the Lord had given command to Joshua. And he said, well, you know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to move forward. And the Lord would, without fail, drive, you know, all these people away from you. I mean, before you, Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Ammonites, Jebusites, all of them. But the covenant of the Lord is with you. So go forward. And he told him what to do. Now, in verse 14, it says, and it came to pass. That's right. when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now, up to that time, Jordan was overflowing its banks. I mean, it was a raging. There were certain times of the year when it was raging and overflowing and just slamming into everything. You know, it wasn't contained at those times. And it was one of those times, you know, but you know, you can't look at the raging river, raging water. You can't look at all of that. Jordan was overflowing its banks at that time. But it came to pass that as soon as the feet of the priests that carried the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, came to pass that even then that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up as an heap very far from the city. This man split that raging, you know, raging waters of Jordan by the word of the Lord. He told the priests, he said, look, you go forward. And when you get there, the Lord will do this thing. And when they stepped into it, the Lord did exactly that thing. And Joshua was thinking, I've seen that before. Joshua had seen the parting of the Red Sea. He's seen this, you know, this Jordan was nothing, nothing at all, you know, before him. You know, Moses himself, you know, he had seen some tremendous things from the Lord too. The Lord would show him. The Lord showed him how, you know, the book of Genesis, he said, let the waters be above the firmaments. Let them be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. You know, he'd seen that in the spirit. You know, God could part that, those waters. Joshua also, you know, Jordan and all of that could not hold them back. They're going through, no matter how the waters are raging, no matter how the barricades and so forth are set up, you are going through. Well, here's a posture that I try to develop as a young man. Say, look, you know, rather than see it as a barrier or barricade, well, or roadblock, I see it as a hurdle. You know, and I know when I was a young man, I did the track and field. I actually did hurdles too. You know, you got to get over those, you know, get over with. And I said, my posture is, well, I'm either going to knock it down, I'm going to jump over it or get around it. One way or another, it's not going to hold me back. I'm going through. Huh? Glory to God. Now, are you going through? Well, in our natural life, consider this. Nobody in their natural mind and their normal senses would let a small roadblock keep them from where they are going. Why do we then let things in our life keep us? You're going somewhere and you get see a roadblock. Are you going to just stay there and then don't move forward? Or are you going to turn back because of the roadblock? People don't do that in real life. What you do is you find a detour or you find another way. You're going somewhere important. You need to get there. Going to the airport to catch your flight. The road is blocked. Are you just going to not go? No. You're going to find another way. That's what we do in real life. Well, we got to do that also when situations, when we are faced with situations. Just because there's a problem in one direction, does that mean you're not going anymore? You got to find another way, you know. Bulldoze the thing down, run through it, jump over it, climb over it, or get around it somehow. You know, if the mountain is too high to climb, well, then go around it. If it's a barricade that you can knock down, well, knock it down. You know, if you can't knock through it, well, run through the troops. Do whatever, but don't let it hold you back. You know, I love this song. That was part of the Sound of Music. Say, climb every mountain. You know, that it's like, oh my goodness. And I said, wow. You know, yeah, you got to climb every mountain. You can't, you know, let mountains and these things hold you back. You climb the mountain. You bulldoze the barrier. You do whatever it takes in the name of the Lord. Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can go through these troops, David said. I can leap over walls. I can bend a bow of steel with my hands. I can, I can do all these things. And in Joel's armies do. We are told that they run through troops. They leap over walls. They climb upon windows. They do all these things. Nothing, in front of them is the Garden of Eden. Behind them is a desolate wilderness. What does that mean? That means, everything they conquer and they level it. They get there, they level the whole thing. Don't let anything stop them. Praise God. Now, what's going to stop you? Shall persecution, shall peril, shall distress, shall hunger and thirst, shall, buffetings from the devil and so forth. It's not like these people didn't have different things, shipwreck, all kinds of things, beaten by the Jews and everything. But his posture was, look, I don't care, what the devil may do. One time somebody even tried to tell him, look, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you hand and foot. He said, look, this is the way they're going to bind the man that owns this gado, hand and foot and so forth. Paul said, I don't care. Bind me or not, I'm ready to even die. I am going forward. Nobody is going to stop me. Praise the Lord. Now, what is your posture? Let's talk about some things that we face in life. You lost your job. Okay. You lost significant pay, maybe pay reduction. Things are not going the way you think they should go. In this economy, things are always happening, ups and downs and so forth. God forbid that somebody should even lose their house because they can't pay their mortgage. Habakkuk, he said it this way. I've lost everything. Things have been cut off. I lost my investment. These people are herdsmen in those days, cattle and so forth. The more cattle you owned, their wealth were measured by cattle. Job, was measured she asses, cattle, 1,000 this, 3,000 that. And so that's how they measure. This man, Habakkuk, he lost everything. He said, it really doesn't matter. Those are things that are for the getting and they are for the losing as well. Job said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not going to matter. Although the fig tree does not blossom, or may not blossom, or shall not blossom. Although there are no fruit on the vines, and even the labor of the olive fails, even when the fields yield no meat, and I lost my job and everything is not going anywhere, when the flocks are cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls, what am I going to do? What's my posture? Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord is my strength. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Glory to God. I can run through troops. I can leap over walls. He will make me yet to walk upon my high places. These people, they would not let, temporary setbacks to be, something that would change their target. Going forward, don't let any roadblocks keep you from going to where you're going. Find another way when the road is blocked. Some people say, when the door is closed, look for a window. Well, whatever, you're going to go through. That's what matters. Because in Isaiah 62 and verse 10, the chief commander, your commander in chief has given you commandment. Say, go through. So whether it's gates or whether it's barriers, whether it's mountains or hills or troops or whatever, David, he had some, mighty men that were around him. They could run through troops. They could leap over walls just like David. They went one time, they hazarded their lives to get David water to drink. They went through armies and everything. these people, they could do all manner of great things. They can go against lion, just like David. You know, one man went against the lion, nothing in his hand. He went against a giant and so on, just like David. You know, and these people, one of them slew 800 at one time, called David's mighty men. And they hang around David long enough. They're going to be doing the same kind of things. You know, this man, these people became mighty men of valor, just like David. Because David was always, you know, one that was undaunted by anything. So the people that were around him, they began to behave the same way. They would stop at nothing. Nothing would stop them. They wanted to go get something. No matter how many troops were in the way, they're going to go get it and come back with it as well. Praise the Lord. They were powerful. You can read that story in 2 Samuel 23. It's called David's Mighty Men. All the things that they did, that they could not, nothing could stop them. They were just like David. No matter whether it's a lion, didn't matter whether it's a giant, many of them had stories similar to David. They went and did great things. Glory to God. Now, what about you and me? You know, what can we do? Well, not in our own strength, not by might, not by power, you know, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But the spirit of the Lord is sufficient, you know, for the victory that we need. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord that came unto Zerubbabel saying, according to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. But the Lord has given us assurance. 1 John 5 and 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world. You know, even our faith. Well, we are overcomers. We must have a positive outlook on life. David said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, he said, look, although sadness and sorrow may endure for a night, well, I know joy is coming in the morning. Glory to God. So, let's go through. Here are some things that God has commanded in the spirit for you. But you must do your part. The book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 2. God has spoken. Open ye the gates. In other words, let the gates be open. You know, that's how God did things in the past. In Genesis, we're always saying, let such and such be. You know, well, again, let the gates be open. And let the people of God go through. Hallelujah. So, what gates? Well, that's up to you to figure out. You know, these setbacks that you have in your life, they are gates. And, you know, a temporary setback should not prevent you from getting to your goal. I've told this story before of a United States women's 4x100 track and field relay team, you know, powered by one Alison Felix. I think it was in 2012 or 2016, one of those years. And in the preliminary rounds, they lost the round because they dropped the baton, but it was no fault of theirs. Somebody had bumped them. And, you know, somebody bumped Alison Felix, because the other person didn't stay in their lane. And she had a rookie that she was going to give the baton to. She was running second leg. She was trained, seasoned. She won more medals than almost anybody. You know, and she told the other one, pick up the baton and finish the race. Even though they lost, they dropped the baton. I was like, well, we already dropped. So no, got to pick that baton up and finish the race. So they picked up the baton. The race was over. They just strutted down. And then the other one also, just the last leg just went down. Because she knew within her heart, the veteran knew, that if we don't finish the race, we would not have any grounds for appeal. So they finished the race. And then they went and appealed. They said, well, we dropped the baton, not because of our fault, but somebody bumped into us. And they went and looked over the video. And it was true. They did see that somebody else, you know, in the other lane bumped into her and caused her to drop the baton. And so they said, well, okay, the race is already over. Well, you know, we're going to let you run the race again and see if you can qualify on time. Yeah. So they put them back in the race. They were the only ones in the track. No other countries. And they were going to see if they can qualify based on time. And there was a time they had to beat to qualify. Well, they had to put them back in the same lane that they were before. They ran the race. They qualified on time. But guess what? You know, if they hadn't finished the race, picked up the baton and finished the race, they would not have been able to do it. There's a message also on our website now called Pick Up the Baton and Finish the Race. You might want to check it out. You know, so they did, and they put them back, and they qualified on time. So they put them in the finals. And when they were in the finals, this is a true story, not a parable of any sort. And then the finals, they got the worst lane, which is the innermost lane, the hardest one, because it's at the sharpest turn. Sometimes they call it lane zero or lane one. It's very, very hard. Nobody ever wants to be in those lanes, you know. But that's where they put them because all the other lanes were taken. They were the last to qualify. Well, it turned out that they were so motivated because of all that drama that they ended up winning that final. Can you imagine? The true story. What would have happened if they had given up just because they dropped the baton? See, this is a true story, a life story. Eh? The woman, Alison Felix, happens to be a believer. You know, and she probably knew something that others didn't know. She had an advantage in her heart, you know, from knowing the Lord and so on. You know, now, what I'm saying is this. You may drop the baton. The devil may bump you. Something may knock you off your stride or whatever. But you got to pick up that baton and finish the race. You got to, whatever the delays, you know, whatever the, you know, hey, that setback may be setting you up for another greater than, they call it one of the greatest comebacks. You know, it's a great comeback that was brought us about by the setback they had. Most people, when they drop the baton, that's it. They don't finish the race. They just say, ah. And United States plagued with dropping the baton so many times. You know, men, women, races, you know, drop the baton. This time around, one general was in that race. And she knew what to do. She said, look, we're not giving up. Pick that baton up and finish the race. And it looked like it was silly at the time, because the race had already finished and they come strutting down, you know. But there was a strategy in her mind, you know, and she knew it. She knew what to do. And the end of the story was they won the gold that year. Can you imagine? You know, it's such a powerful story. And every time I read or watch that story again, it's on YouTube too. I just say, my goodness, you know, this is such a lesson of life. You know, just because you have setbacks and different things doesn't mean that your future have to be defined by that setback. You know, you can believe the Lord for better things and a better future and a better tomorrow. Believe the Lord. And you can begin to tell yourself today that my head shall not be bowed down. The Lord will be my glory and the lifter up of my head. I am going to run through troops. I'm going to leap over walls. I'm going to go through gates. I'm going to climb every mountain. Now, you can begin to, you know, encourage yourself. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's up and down. Our souls are full of emotions like that. There'll be days that you're on fire like that. And then another day you wake up and it's like the whole world just crashed on you. I mean, just like you wake up and people wake up, they have this heaviness and they just can't get themselves going. Well, that's when you bestir yourself in the Lord. Glory to God. You stir yourself up and say, no, we're not doing that today. You heard me. Those of you who are here in the early days, I was talking about this repeatedly. Look in that mirror that morning and say, no, we're not doing any of that gloominess today. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad. I'm going to run through troops. Anything the devil put in front of me, I'm going to bulldoze it down. I'm going to climb over it. I'm going to run over it because the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. And I can do all things through him that strengthens me. Glory to God. Now I'm going to pray for you. And after my prayer, I want us to pray. But first, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we have encouraged ourselves by these words that we have heard before, that we know. Today, encourage ourselves to believe God, to stand tall. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil will always be there to resist your prayer. Just like he resisted the prayer of Daniel, just like standing at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. But Lord, we thank you because you have given us knowledge and understanding, that you have given us power. Well, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. The devil will throw many things to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that abundance. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's a loss here and there. Sometimes it's various things. And, you know, people come up against you on your job, you know, for no reason at all. You know, just, you know, all hell just breaks loose, especially when the Lord says you are going through. That's when all the storms of life will come up against you. Make sure you don't get to the other side, like the Lord said. But I pray, Lord, that we will get through to the other side. We will arm ourselves with the boldness of the Lord. I say, the commander in chief said, go through. He also said, let us pass over to the other side. So no storms on the way going to hold us back. I pray that our strength will not be little. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. We will not faint. In the day of adversity, we will get up and go. Glory to God. Jeremiah 12 and 5 says, if you have run against footmen and you are weary, what are you going to do? How can you run against or contend against horses? If in the land of peace, when you have, you know, just small problems, you let those things overwhelm you, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? Father, Lord, strengthen us, you know, for the greater battles ahead. We must climb every mountain, win every little battle, gain strength for the bigger ones. Win over the lion, win over the bear, gain strength against Goliath. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We will not be defeated because we got that power in the name of the Lord. And though the enemy, you know, come against you in one direction, Bible say, when you take your stand in the Lord, he will flee seven ways in the name of Jesus. Now, open ye the gates that the righteous nation will go in. Now, I speak to gates this morning. Open the gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And let the King of glory come on in. Let the gates be open and let the people of God pass through. Now, David said, oh, that man would praise the Lord, for he had broken the gates of brass, cut in pieces the bars of iron. Thank you, Lord, because you've broken those gates. You cut those bars in pieces. We're moving through. The devil is not holding us back. And everything that people are facing, even today, we're going to use it as fuel, for tomorrow, in Jesus' name. We will rise above obstacles. Glory to God. We will not allow any of these things to hold us back. The distresses, the things that the devil throw against us, Paul called them, you know, buffetings and various things. He said, we are buffeted on every side. We are troubled on every side. Yet we're not distressed, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're knocked down, but we stand up again. Glory to God. The righteous falleth seven times, but he rises up again each time. Now, the name of the Lord be your banner. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Lord be your glory and the lifter up of your head. I pray for the hands that hang down, that they receive strength. Ah, like David said, the Lord teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight. I pray for the knees that are feeble, that they receive strength again. Glory to God. You'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you are going through, because the commander-in-chief said so. Go through the gates. Ah, gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people of God. We're lifting that standard for you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because you are the captain of our salvation. You have gone ahead of us. You said, come on over. We're coming with you. The devil cannot stop us. There's no stopping us now. Glory to God. The promises of God for us this year, we will attain. And we will not be denied. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus spoke about a woman that would not be denied. Even though the judge said, I don't care. The woman kept asking. And the judge had no choice but to give her what she wanted. Praise the Lord. Jesus also spoke about the man that went to knock at midnight at his friend's house. And the friend wouldn't answer him at first. But because he kept knocking, had no choice but to get up and do it. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 7, ye that make mention of the Lord, glory to God, give him no rest until he establish the thing that you are believing God for. And if at first you don't succeed, you know, try it again, huh? Glory to God. Try it again and again and again, and the Lord will give you the victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.